Welcome, everyone, to the Ira Kaufman Podcast. It's Thursday here, post-Super Bowl Thursday, with Ira Kaufman. Lee DeCamper joins us from JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com. And the crew is all here, Ira, as you have this Dunkin' Donuts bag in front of you, shoving your grill with munchkins or whatever it is.
Do you have to tell our listeners everything that's going on here, Isbitz?
Well, who starts a broadcast podcast by shoving a donut in his mouth? I mean, you're the stereotypical
sports writer. I need a little energy. You want me to get that five-hour boost out of 7-Eleven? No. I get a munchkin.
All right, Ira. Your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse is going to save you, Ira. It's time to take a vacation. Buy with zero down and make zero payments for 3 months. Or drive new ATSs, $319 a month, XT5s, $439 a month. Take a vacation at Brandon's only luxury dealership. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, see dealer for all details. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is your place to start. You can also go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, and we'll talk more about them a little bit later in our podcast. But I right now, you've had time to come down off your Super Bowl loss, a.k.a. John Lynch not getting in the hall.
I feel worse than the Falcons is, but worse than the Falcons.
But you know what? That ship has sailed a little bit. You're going to get over it. I see you're burying your sorrows in food, and you're
a
fine.
A margarita maybe later. You know. Hey, I'm bummed out that we didn't get to go on Dumick's show this week, the three of us. I'm a little bummed out.
Yeah, Steve Dumick, we were all going to make a grand appearance Wednesday of this week, but the big dog's out for the week. Something came up, and he's got an unexpected week off, but probably next week. We'll get you in there to tantalize.
By then, I'll be decompressed, Lee. I'll be decompressed by then.
Well, thank you. All right. Ira, Falcons, we'll start there.
Better decomposed.
That's right.
I don't care what you say. Falcons choked. That's one of the all-time great choke jobs in football history, no matter what you want to say. And now they're imploding the coaching staff. Now, what's behind this, and is this a reactionary thing? What do you think, Sage, of Tampa Bay?
I think it's naive to think that it all happened because of Sunday's result. Lee, when you change the defensive core, I think that was in the works. Now, Shanahan certainly was going to be a 49ers GM no matter what happened on Sunday. The quarterback coach, you know, didn't get Shanahan's job, so he's pissed off, LaFleur, so he's going to leave. You know, and I'll tell you what, I don't think Sarkisian is any kind of a home run for offensive coordinator. You know, I checked his credentials, gentlemen. The guy's got 1 year of NFL experience. Mm-hmm. He was a quarterback coach with the Raiders, a bad Raiders team, in 2004. Steve, I don't think Atlanta fans are, doing jumping jacks over Steve Sarkisian. Look, to say that they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover, look what happened to the Panthers.
Yes.
When you lose a Super Bowl. Now, before that, Lee, it hasn't held true. I looked the 3 years before that team's bounced back when they lost the Super Bowl. Denver bounced back and won a Super Bowl after getting killed by Seattle. So it doesn't always happen. They're young enough and talented enough, especially on defense. They got young core players like Beasley. Trufant will be back. They missed him. That linebacker, he looks pretty good. So whatever. He
got
looks
Weatherspoon
good.
Back as well.
So don't count Atlanta out, but I think clearly the path is open for the Bucs, and the Bucs have continuity, Lee, on the coaching side, with rare exception, and Atlanta does not.
Well, I'm not trying to be argumentative with you whatsoever, and I'm not trying to start an argument to reinforce
that.
Don't
do a Chris Russo on me.
No. If I do Chris Russo, hear me halfway through Tarpon Springs. Maybe I am naive, but I can't imagine a team that won a Super Bowl would unload all these defensive coaches. It's like, wait a minute, you just won a Super Bowl. How could they be that bad? You won a Super Bowl. And the way they choked, I have to believe that's a factor. I just can't dismiss it because, it was in the works a couple of years. Of course, the Atlanta people want people to believe it was in the works, but I just don't see that. I mean, when's the last time a Super Bowl winning team, and granted, they should have won it.
Yeah, they didn't win, but sure. That was, sure.
Let me weigh in for a second on this, Lee. It boggles my mind in the wake of the Super Bowl and the analysis, the postmortem. Everybody and his brother, everybody, is killing Shanahan. They're killing Matt Ryan for taking that sack, and that was a terrible play because you can't take a sack. They're killing the running back for not picking up the guy coming off the left side. I understand all that. But, guys, we're going to give the Falcon defense a free pass off that game? Mr. Isbitz, last time I looked, they led 28-3 with 17 minutes left in regulation.
It was lovely-like.
The last five drives were four touchdowns and a field goal. I know they were tired. I know they were on the field. But why were they on the field? They couldn't stop them. Make one stop. Never mind the two-point conversions. Throw that on top. So, look, there's a lot of culprits. There's a lot of villains. But, Steve, let's not give a pass to the Falcons' defense.
Man, those donuts have you really hyped up there, Cal?
I'm all hyped up.
That was a lovely-like performance on defense.
Shanahan's getting killed, but the defense is getting a pass.
I can't remember if you were there or not, but I was at the Capitol collapse, the Lovie Smith collapse, when he had, what, 23-point lead?
October 25th, 2015. Terrible.
Oh,
and in Washington.
And you got the date, Steve.
Yeah, Steve's on top of it. I can't remember if you were there or not. I know
Cummins
was
there.
It was just gruesome. I'll never forget. I won't mention names, but I will say that the contingent of Bucks front office staff was sitting behind me at the press box at RFK, FedEx Field.
That's right.
I'll never forget that every other play, they're slapping the desk. The sighs, audible sighs, the grunts, the cussing under their breath. It was unbelievable.
Lee finally got the vomit out of his hat, his baseball hat. No. Let me go back to what you said.
You get my point.
Well, here's the thing. First, I don't understand the Shanahan stuff. I don't understand why all of a sudden we're not blaming the head coach. Dan Quinn is the head coach. He's on that headset to say
he could walk over to Shanahan.
He could pick up that little headset and say, Kyle, take the air out of the ball. We're killing clock here. Run it up the gut. He's the head coach. We're only talking about Shanahan getting killed because he got the Niners job. If he wasn't getting the Niners job, we'd be saying Dan Quinn, he doesn't know how to manage the clock. So, I mean, that's all a bunch of, you know, spin. On Sarkisian, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, Ira, I think Josh McCown was their quarterback in 2004. So, I don't know.
But they went 5-11, and if McCown was the quarterback, I give Sarkisian a pass.
Because I know McCown was there when Sapp was there.
Sapp was there. That was Sapp's first year.
And so, you know, that might have ruined Sarkisian for forever. Yeah, really. But maybe it took him 10 years to get over
Josh
McCown. But
he does not have a lot of NFL experience.
No.
Steve.
Since you brought up McCown, real quick. You know, we've had some people on Twitter that Twittered us saying, hey, you know, McCown would be a good backup.
Let's stop right now.
I want that guy nowhere in the same zip code as Tampa. This guy, I looked up his win-loss percentage. You'll throw up when you read it. Oh, my gosh, this guy is a loser.
Can we get past Josh McCown, Steve? For the love of God.
Hey, the pain runs deep, Ira.
For the love of Jason Light.
One thing also with the Falcons, NFL coaches, most fans probably don't realize, and when NFL coaches are hired assistants, they get two-year deals. So this was Dan Quinn's second year. Those contracts were up on his staff. And they have to make a quick decision on who to renew. And so maybe he wanted to make some changes. I think part of it might have had to just do with the life of the contract. But I think, and no one's talking about it, doesn't this clear the way for Raheem Morris to be defensive coordinator? He's done it before. He's tight with Quinn. They work closely together. He's proven himself in that organization. You would think that's a no-brainer for him to slide over to call the defense.
I would take it one step further, Lee. Uh-oh. If Raheem Morris, who's already been bypassed for offensive coordinator when he was running the receivers.
He did a
heck of a job. Yeah. Lee, if he gets bypassed on the defensive side, which is where his pedigree is, maybe it's time for Raheem to move on from the Atlanta Falcons.
Perhaps. I got a chance to talk to him in Houston.
Yeah,
He was gracious.
That's outstanding.
Couldn't have been nicer. Oh, by the way, when I was asking him questions, I had my phone, my tape recorder in my right hand, and my left arm was covering up my press credential, so I couldn't tell who I was from.
Just in case.
He didn't say anything about Kaufman saying something about the race to 10 counts the preseason games. He didn't say anything.
I brought up no connection to the Tampa Bay media, just in case he saw my credential and flipped out.
You know, it's interesting, though, because something's fishy. Like Lee said, this just doesn't happen. Teams don't win the conference championship after a pretty meteoric rise. With a young defense and then blow it up with the coaching staff.
Maybe it clears the way for Raheem to get that job.
Maybe it does. Brian Cox wrote about this today. I wanted to get your take. Wrote about it on JoeBucksFan.com. We're taping Wednesday night. Brian Cox, when he left the Shiano regime, he was here as a pass rush coach, helping linebackers and D-line coaches under Shiano. He was hired by Mike Smith in 2014. That's where he went next. Mike Smith, defensive guy, said, this is the guy to be my D-line coach. And that was at a time when Dimitrov and Mike Smith were looking to bring a little more fire, a little more anger, a little more
juice
and nastiness to the Falcons.
Physicality, yeah.
Now Brian Cox is out of a job. Oh, everybody else's team has a job. He just lost his. Does Mike Smith maybe say bring him in as a consultant, as a hybrid linebacker, D-line coach?
Well, I'll say this. Based on Sunday's performance against New England, for most of that game, the great majority of that game, that pass rush was outstanding. It was a lot better than any pressure that Brady's faced all season, including the playoffs up until that point. I thought they did a whale of a job led by Grady Jarrett. Whoever heard of Grady Jarrett? He looked like Warren Sapp. So, you know, if I'm looking at that game, I'm saying who's ever responsible for Atlanta's pass rush did a marvelous job.
Yeah, it almost smells of Artie Blank. And I respect him. I think he's a good guy. But he's, in the past, he's shown that he suffers no fools. He thinks a change needs to be changed, he pulls the trigger. It's starting to smell like this came from above. It's just difficult for me to believe. Like I said, one play away and they win the Super Bowl, you're not changing any coaches on purpose.
Has anybody heard from Mr. Arthur Blank since the game
That's
ended,
what I mean.
Steven? Has anybody heard from him?
I don't know. I haven't been paying that close attention. If he's not dancing, I don't really care.
Did he dance on Sunday in the owner's suite?
What? Premature ejaculation.
I believe he did. I believe he did dance.
He was gyrating a little bit. You know, he was clearly excited. I figured he'd be popping his Viagra after the third quarter.
Did you see the look on his wife's face on the sidelines?
She was probably thinking the same thing. I don't know.
Viagra?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was the devastation, but great point you made that Brian Cox's unit came to play with a devastating pass rush on Tom Brady. And, you know, that's a guy who can obviously coach. That Mike Smith connection, I think it might be interesting. And if you remember, Brian Cox, Adam Hayward shoved him in Tampa. That was a deal. He made a lot of noise. Gerald McCoy, he really was riding McCoy hard. They got a lot of success out of him. But if you remember, he was the guy who was all over McCoy for helping a guy up off the field. And McCoy spoke out to the media saying, my coaches are telling me not to help guys up.
Are you sensing an imminent opening on the Buck defensive staff?
No, not opening addition.
I just think an opportunity. I don't think Brian Cox hanging around smoking his cigars and getting all fired up would be a bad thing. That's just me.
Maybe. If I remember correctly, wasn't Cox at one point the quote-unquote pass rushing specialist?
Yes,
and
he was.
And Lavonnie David, look how what he did to quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's interesting to something to watch. This is the podcast, right? We get to talk about these things, Ira. And another thing we get to talk about is Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa model year-end savings, Ira. You know what that means?
Let me hear it.
You can get 2016 vehicles with some incredible, incredible opportunities.
Because they got new inventory, Steven.
Well, the year changes, right? Year-end savings, year-end inventory. Right now at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, get 0% for 72 months. That's 6 years interest-free, Ira. Even you could do that math. 2016 models are going fast. Click edmorescadillactampa.com and see dealer for all details.
Ira, I got one for you here. I'm not jumping the gun. I know Steve threw this out earlier this morning, and I threw it out roughly 10 minutes ago. See if anybody had any questions for Ira.
Oh, yes, I have some, Ira.
And I've got one right here from a...
I got them all printed out.
Oh, well, I just got one just
got a
now.
New one in the house.
Yeah, and I love this guy's handle on Twitter, and Jameis We Trust. He asks, where's Glennon going?
I could see Glennon with the New York Jets. That's a disaster area. Now, look, when you look at a Houston or a Denver, I think they'd be a lot more interested in Tony Romo, Steve. Especially Denver. They still got Tlaib. They still got Von Miller. They think with the right guy under center, they can make a lot of noise, and I think they're right. Romo's accomplished a lot more in the NFL than Mike Glennon could ever dream about. I mean, Romo's been a very solid quarterback. He doesn't stay healthy.
No, he's brittle.
That's a problem. He's brittle. I think there are spots for Glennon. Could he end up with John Lynch in San Francisco?
We're going to start to drug test you, Ira. I'm serious.
I didn't say he's going to make $15 million. I said where he's going to end up. Don't be jumping on me.
As a starter?
He's going to compete. He's going to compete.
You're crazy. No one's going to let
him
compete.
Could he beat out Bryce Petty? You know, Buffalo.
The look of bewilderment on Steve's face right now.
His bits is so down on this Mike Glennon, it's beyond belief.
He's not an NFL starter. He's not. And if he is, if he goes to some team and gets $12, $13 million and plays well, then shame on Jason Light for letting this guy not be traded for something of value, and shame on him for not letting him play, dealing with Lovie and not playing him over
Steve,
Josh McCown.
I don't disagree with your main point, and I think Lee's with me on that. There's no reason to think Glennon's going to go anywhere and he's going to shine. There just isn't. And
no
I'll
evidence.
Be the first to say it. But
so he's going to
Lee, there's a dearth of starting quarterbacks in the league.
When your best options are Jay Cutler, Brady Jay Cutler, and Josh McCown, good grief.
Have you seen the New York Jets, Mr. Isbitz? Have you seen what's going on over there?
I've seen what's going on there.
Cleveland, San Francisco, you know, Houston, Denver. There's spots.
San Francisco?
There's spots openly. You know, Glennon, I don't believe has been given a full chance. I don't think.
Well, he certainly did not get one with Lovie.
Is he going to make the 2017 Pro Bowl? Are you going to go to, are you going to go Orlando with me, you know, next year and talk to Mike Glennon? No, you're not. I have no illusions
What's wrong with developing Bryce Petty? I mean.
Because they've probably seen him enough in practice to
realize
they made a mistake.
They get another quarterback. There are other guys out there. I mean,
it was like Isbitz asked you if, if Lovie Smith was the next Don Coryell or something.
Lee, what part of this conversation is Isbitz not acknowledged? Let him compete. Let him compete.
No one is going to pay Mike Glennon to come and compete.
Did I say anything about $12 million, Mr.
No,
Smith?
No, you did not.
I did not. Get him on the cheap. Let him compete.
All right, then that's a good question. Lee sparked a nice debate here. Get him on the quote-unquote cheap. What's the cheap? And if the cheap is kind of cheap, then he belongs being the Buccaneers' backup.
Your facial reaction is like Isbitz asking about Christmas Day 1971.
Isbitz is out of control.
So what's
today,
on the cheap? What's the cheap for Mike Glennon?
Will you stop considering Glennon coming back to the Bucs to carry the water for Jameis Winston?
Why? What's on the cheap?
He wants to have a shot to be the starting quarterback.
I want to know what's on the
Tampa.
Cheap. What's on the cheap? $2 million, $3 million, $4 million?
Give the man $5 or $6 million. Let him compete.
So the Jets are going to guarantee him $5 million to compete.
It might be a heck of a bargain if he ends up being the starting quarterback. Lee, you know, Isbitz, he's not coming back to Tampa. You're not going to see him in that locker room, and that's all there is to it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back. I really wouldn't be surprised. Maybe Lee, I want to hear what Lee thinks. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The Bucs have money. I don't think they want to just throw money at guys who they think stand. I'm talking about the team's mindset. They don't want to just throw money around for the hell of it. Jameis throws his body around. They love Glennon. He knows the system. They trust him. I don't think they'd be afraid to pay him excellent backup money, which is the $5 million Josh McCown keeps
Maybe
earning.
They wouldn't mind moving on from Glennon, Lee, as a backup.
Well, if you listen to the folks that pull strings at one buck, they loved Glennon as a backup. But they got bigger fish to fry than worrying about signing the backup. I'm sorry.
They got much bigger fish to fry. I'm just saying, when he tests the market and there's nothing out there, maybe Mike Glennon says, you know what? Bucks are offering me $15 million for 3 years to stay in my place.
Not get beat up.
No taxes. Don't get beat up. I got my beautiful wife and kid. And
are you okay with that $15 million for 3 years for a guy who's not going to play? Okay with that?
In today's salary cap era of it growing $15 million a year and the Bucks having a mountain of cash, sure, that's good insurance. This is a team that's supposed to be able to win. So it's good insurance.
And if you're Mike Glennon and you'd rather be a backup, a surefire backup, rather than have a chance to compete somewhere, Lee, that tells me that you got no fire in your belly. How do you like that?
Either that or you can't get anybody to offer you a decent contract.
We're going to find out soon.
Now, I want to know why you hate Mike Glennon so much that you would insinuate that he would go to the Jets, where you know the media is going to kill him. They're going to be ruthless on him just on his appearance alone. I can already see the howdy doody in the Daily News.
From Mike Francesa?
Well, you won't get it from Bart Hubbage because, the Post fired him. That's a whole other subject.
Well, the point is that I don't think he's got the personality for New York. I don't think he's got the look that they're looking for. The media is going to be ruthless on him, even though it's not
Lee,
unfair.
Ben Costello.
Lee, everybody wants one of those 32 jobs. Everybody wants one, including Mike Glennon.
Well, that's like someone on Twitter, wasn't for this podcast, but for an example, a guy this morning, why would John Lynch take this job with San Francisco? He doesn't have final say on a 53-man roster. I'm like, number one, he's got zero experience. Number two, he was offered a job.
He's got a six-year contract.
Yeah, you add all that up. It's like he had no leverage, and they're offering him 6 years.
What are you
going to
do,
million?
Turn that job down?
No kidding.
You know, because it's difficult?
Yeah, I mean, where would you rather work, Buffalo or San Francisco? Think about it.
I didn't mean to say howdy doody. Dumig calls Glenn an Opie. Now that's what I meant to say. It was Opie.
By the way, he is a class act. He is a
Dumig or Glennon?
Well, we know about Dumig, but you know, I've enjoyed Mike's Glennon's company.
Mike's a good guy.
No, he's a good guy. I mean, his brother was ruthless to me on Twitter, and we had a lot of issues with him.
That's another reason why he's a good guy. That's a positive for Glennon that he took you on.
No, it was just his brother.
His brother went bananas on us.
His brother
Twitter
went bananas. His brother calmed down after that, though. I think Mike Glennon stepped in and said, "Dude, you can't be going after anybody in Tampa as my brother."
He handled Jameis Winston's entrance into the franchise beautifully.
Yeah, smoothly.
Smoothly.
Seamlessly is a better word.
All right, Lee, nicely. Lee, I got questions for Ira that we were taking on Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan. Did you have any others? Any new ones that came in?
No, just this one. Okay. Let me just check here, but.
All right, while Lee looks for that, I will
no new ones.
Go back to the fans here. The fans love you. They love you.
Anybody killing me over the Lynch situation?
No, I think they feel badly for you. No, I didn't hear any negativity, and nobody said, "Hey, shut it down, Mr. Kaufman."
let's get a new guy in the room.
0-4 Well, let's bring in Carlos Pena. The way you strike out, that could. This one comes from Bucks and Magic for Life. Ira, will the change in coordinators with Carolina and Atlanta benefit the Bucks?
I don't think there's any question. McDermott is very highly respected on the defensive side of the ball, Lee. In 2015, as good as Cam Newton was, and he was great, he was a league MVP. But that team was powered by their defense. The takeaways were unbelievable. The short fields for Newton, that's what it was all about. And when you lose Luke Kuechly, yeah. Lee, you know, that's significant, no question.
And who's
about
the guy that went to the defensive back, the cornerback?
Josh Norman.
Yeah,
there's no question. So, you know, good luck to Sean McDermott, but Buck fans aren't going to be looking at him on the Carolina sidelines. We know what Kyle Shanahan did with Atlanta. I voted for him as the assistant coach of the year. He ended up winning that on that NFL honors program.
See the weight you get to throw around?
See that? Of course, that's a knock on those teams. The Bucks are bringing back Mike Smith, big plus. Cutter, no matter what he says, we're all three are in agreement. He's not giving up play calling over the Glazers' dead body, right, Lee? That's not going to happen.
And who's weeping for a Lovie Smith tight end coach leaving?
You know, and New Orleans, I mean, you know, New Orleans is New Orleans. They're an 8-8 team, and the Bucks have a better ball club. You know, Drew Brees is holding them up single-handedly.
Yeah, literally, yes.
Literally. So the answer is everything seems to be breaking right for the Bucks so far. Long way to go in the offseason, but so far, so good, Lee.
All right, now, Ira, a couple things. McDermott hires Leslie Frazier as his defensive coordinator, and he hires Gil Bird, who's the cornerback's coach, is now up there. So I think that's kind of interesting. We might have to send you to Buffalo in December for an exclusive on Frazier, and maybe you can get the truth out of the Lovie era from him. So.
I'll say this
But we'll wait till December so you freeze your ass off.
Tell me if you agree. Frazier was not doing a bang-up job, but when Lovie took over, he didn't do any better. If not, and he might have done worse.
Oh, he did
I'm not
worse.
Saying Frazier made people forget about Chuck Knoll, but the last month of the season, his first year with the Bucs defense, it seemed like they were turning the corner. Then Lovie panicked. Literally, he panicked, took over, and it went downhill from there. It's just interesting to me McDermott would hire, and what do you think about this, a Lovie collaborator, a defensive
Very
back coach.
You know, Frazier's no bumpkin. He's been around. He's been a head coach, Steve. He knows what he's doing. You know, if he's got enough talent to work with, Lee, I think Frazier will succeed as a D coordinator.
I thought you would love that. Lovie collaborator.
And it's interesting. Bad, speaking of Lovie collaborators, Gil Bird, you know, was a Pro Bowl cornerback, was Lovie's cornerback's coach. This was a guy who wasn't necessarily he was kind of knocked a little bit down
I
here.
I think so.
He took, I thought, a little bit of a bad rap, but a lot of the Bucks cornerbacks were very anti-Lovie and anti-regime, and you know,
big time.
But it speaks a lot that McDermott, a defensive guy, brings in two of Lovie's guys to coach with him. It's very interesting.
I got to give Leslie Frazier, I got to give him benefit of the doubt. I think he was in a no-win situation with Lovie. Yeah. Like I said, Lovie panicked and he pulled the reins away from Leslie Frazier and.
We don't know. Steve, as far as Gil Bird's concerned, he did take a beating. I think I was one of them. I was skeptical. After the performance, are you kidding me? of the Bucs secondary?
I don't know if I can say this on a podcast, but I heard it wasn't just Gilbert, but all the secondary coaches. It was not good.
I think Lee makes a Lee is suggesting, and I think rightly so. We don't know the restrictions that were placed on these position coaches under Lovie Smith.
Of course, they were figureheads in many ways. Frazier was, especially under Lovie. I mean, he was being paid to just do whatever.
Lovie wasn't meddling with Dirk Cutter's offense. He was meddling with the other side.
I just wanted to bring that up. Just kind of interesting. All right, Ira, back to the fans.
My 11 fans out there, Steven.
Your 11 fans. All right, this comes from Eric. At Eric H. 1197. Question is, Ira, depending on what the Chiefs do with them, but assuming they re-sign one of the two, would you go after either Dontari Poe or Eric Berry?
All right, this is going to be heresy, and this may get me thrown out of this park. There might be a park ranger. If he hears this, Lee, he might come after me. I'm going to say this. I've been thinking about it. I'm going to say it anyway. I think Eric Berry's a little overrated. And I'll tell you why. Well, he makes some big-time plays. There's no question about it. But on a week-to-week basis, and you guys know, I'm a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
I followed him. He makes some big-time plays.
Sure.
But, you know, this guy is not Ronnie Lott. He's not Dawkins, and he's not Lynch. And Ken Easley. He's not. Part of this Eric Berry aura, and there's an aura about him, let's face it, is the backstory.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic
fighting
backstory.
Leukemia.
But going forward, in terms of the Bucks laying out money for Eric Berry, it's no factor. It shouldn't be, and it won't be. No, you know, what he overcame is unbelievable. It's to his credit, but it's no factor. It can't be a factor. The Bucks have to make a decision on value. And he's going to cost a lot of money. He's going to cost a lot of money, Lee. I'll be the first to say, unlike you two guys, I think the Bucks need an upgrade at safety. I do. I don't think it's I think they're okay.
They're just okay. Yeah, that's where I'm coming in. I think they're okay. The real question is, which Keith Tandy are they going to get? Is it going to be the Keith Tandy for the first 10 weeks of the season, or is it going to be the Keith Tandy that took over for Conte after he got hurt and played lights-out football? If that's the Keith Tandy that returns 2017, there's no need to upgrade safety. I think McDougal's is fine. I think he gets the job done. And if Tandy is that Tandy that we're thinking of the last 6 weeks of the season, that's a borderline Pro Bowl player if he continues that.
Steve, I suggest, tell me if this is a stretch, you and I have been to several Buck games, more than one, guys. After a play, we look at each other and go, "What was Tandy doing on that play?"
Oh, we're
now.
Season,
now it
sure.
wasn't last year. It wasn't last year, but in spot duty, in the past, we have said, "What's going on with Keith Tandy?" We didn't even know if the guy was good enough to be a backup. Now
against the Rams,
he made plays last year, Steve. So guys do get better, you know. But
sure, plenty of them.
You know, I don't know my faith level in Tandy being an everyday starter.
Well, going back to the question here, okay, you're telling us Eric Berry's overrated. Obviously, he's a hell of a lot better than the Bucs' safeties. I think
he's
going to
command a lot of money, Steve.
Well, he's a lot better than what we have. Do you agree with that?
He's a significant upgrade.
Listen to you hedging your bet there.
Did you hear what I just said?
He's a
significant upgrade in your payroll.
Okay.
Also.
So getting back to the question, I answer it first. I got an answer.
All right. So getting back to the question, Dontari Poe or Eric Berry for this team? Forget about the money for a minute.
I'll tell you what. I think you're 0 for 2, Isbitz. I watched Poe every snap. Every snap I watched Poe in that Pittsburgh game. Now, sometimes he had more than one guy on him. He was no factor. They're still looking for Le'Veon Bell that night. 170 yards. They're still looking for him, Lee. Up the middle, around the end. Whatever Pittsburgh wanted to do, no pressure on Roethlisberger. He's not much of a factor, guys, on a pass rush. He's not.
But I'm going to throw this back. Your own question at you. Your own question. Is Poe an upgrade over Akeem Spence?
Yes.
I say yes.
Yes. Yes.
And but he's going to be cheaper than Eric Berry.
Guys, in free agency, it's about value, Steve. You know that. That's the key word, value. If I can get Poe at the right price, $7 million, $8 million, I'm not giving him $14.
You value guys are driving me nuts.
All Isbitt sees is all that money that they got.
No.
Well, that's why he's a businessman.
No. The goal is to win a Super Bowl, right? The goal is not to preserve Team Glazer's retirement fund. So if you're gonna,
there are long range concerns, Lee. There are long range.
Well,
concerns.
The beachfront property in Boca.
That's what a GM's supposed to do.
Okay, so if the Bucks are $70 million under the cap, and they can overpay for a couple of guys and end up $20 million under the cap, okay. So overpay. I'm just saying that the Bucks have put themselves in a position, in all seriousness, Ira, Bucks have placed themselves in a position where they can overpay for a guy. And you know what they did last year? They overpaid intentionally with everybody blessing it and bowing to him. They overpaid by giving Vincent Jackson $10 million, and they knew they didn't have to. They wanted to coming off a knee injury.
How'd that work out?
Didn't work out. But I don't think they should have done it. Like they did, only relying so much on him, but to bring him back because they had the money, great move.
Hold on, Lee. I'm gonna channel the commish on this,
Mr. Pulowski.
It's not a four-letter word, but I'm pushing it a little bit. Instead of going after Don Terry Poe, you know what I'm doing, Lee? I'm going balls to the wall
with
on Calais Campbell.
Yes.
Calais Campbell, who can play defensive tackle, who can play defensive end. I'll pay Campbell, and he ain't coming cheap, and I like everything about him.
Interesting.
How do you like that, Isbitz?
I like that. He's got Buccaneers written all over him.
And Isbitz wants Campbell, and he wants Poe and Berry.
He's a wanting person.
I don't want all those. They don't. Stop that.
I like Calais Campbell, and I think you're on the right track.
I just can't sit around at home saying, oh, this guy, oh, they overpaid $1.8 million for him. Who gives a crap? It's the Blazers' money.
Unless Steve Keim tells Jason Light,
watch out
for Campbell. Other than that, I want Calais Campbell.
Well, I don't think it takes a magician to connect these dots. The wide receiver from Arizona that got cut late in the season went to the Belichick.
Floyd?
Yeah. There's a reason why the Bucks didn't pick him up. As you pointed out, and I've pointed out, Jason Light's best friend in the NFL is Steve Keim with the Cardinals. And, oh, by the way,
his second best friend is Steve Isbitz.
And, oh, by the way, when the Cardinals drafted this guy, this wide receiver, guess who was working for the Cardinals in the front office?
Mr. Jason Light.
So no one had intel on this guy like Jason Light did. So
you would think Light's experience with different organizations, Steve, it's going to pay off. Now, it didn't pay off the first go-around in free agency.
I'm tempted, but
I think he's learned his lesson.
I'm tempted. I'm going to imitate him. I'm tempted to pull up the audio. I still have it. I got a chance to chat very briefly with Mr. Bob Kraft in Houston.
Well, you made the rounds in Houston, Lee.
Yes, I did.
When you weren't scarfing down some barbecue.
I wasn't scarfing down barbecue, yes. Anyway, I asked Kraft. I said, you know, I asked him about Jason Light. I said, do you miss Jason Light not working? And as soon as I said Jason Light, as soon as that came out of my mouth, and you could hear it, I'll pipe it up here at some point, maybe not for the podcast, but for your entertainment purposes, Bob Kraft went like this, oh, Jason. And I guess you read what I wrote about that was like an intimate moment with Rachel Watson in between the sheets. But that's when he goes, oh, Jason, like that. Before I can finish the question.
And Lee, you know what's amazing? Steve, you know, really.
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
Look, about Rachel Watson between the seats?
Look, I understand. Look at the brain drain that has occurred in New England on the personnel side with Pioli, Dimitroff, Jason Light, other guys.
Quinn.
And they keep rolling along because they got the big boy
calling
the signals. He's doing it all, Mr. Belichick.
B squared.
Look, what he's done is as the GM is extraordinary.
As the coach, gets rid of Chandler Jones. I don't want Collins as the linebacker. Unbelievable.
Do you see their salary cap room next year?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Steve, when guys leave New England, they don't do anything.
And Belichick, even with all that room, he's still not going to pay anybody just out of
principle. Yeah.
Principle. Just out of principle, absolutely, which is extraordinary. But the Bucks and every other team can't afford to do that.
I wish you'd be ruled a little bit by principle rather than this madcap spending spree you're espousing over here.
Madcap.
Espousing.
And
Steve says I'm mischaracterizing it. Steve says I got it all wrong. He doesn't want to do a full-bore free agent.
Oh, me, you mean?
Yeah.
No, not full-bore, but Tony Dungy himself. When you bought Tony Dungy his breakfast and got all these quotes from him, said the Bucks need impact players on either side of the ball.
Yes.
So all I'm on one on each side. So you know what? I say buy one on each side and then go draft the best you can. That's all.
Madcap makes me think of all those great 60s situational comedies. Situational comedies? You know, like the F Troop and Get Smart.
Sitcoms.
Madcap.
Are you guys shocked that I even suggested that Eric Berry might be a little overrated?
No.
I mean, you don't see that written very often. You just don't see it.
No, I'm not shocked that you watch him all the time. But my question when you say overrated, does that mean you don't think he's a Pro Bowler? You think he's a top five safety in the game?
I think he's a Pro Bowler.
Top five safety
So you're adding a Pro Bowl safety.
Okay. So you're saying he's not a Hall of Fame caliber.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No Bustin' Canton yet.
Yes.
Would you compare him to Gerald McCoy on the Bucks?
Fair. Maybe better.
Yes, I would, because I've had a couple of people. Now, I've never mentioned this on a podcast, but a couple of people
scoopage.
From outside. Scoopage. In the words of Jay Glazer. Scoopage. He loves that. By the way, that guy's never wrong. He's just never
no,
wrong.
He's not.
Yeah,
I say scoopage when I take my dog out.
I understand. Go ahead. But I had some people from outside the organization who are very familiar with the Bucks and the game film say McCoy's film isn't very good. He's a flash player. He is a flash player.
Now, would these people be writers, coaches, executives?
These are not writers, because I'm like Isbitz. I don't put any stock into what a writer says. You know, I'm like the current administration. Oh, I got a war on the media going on over here at the Kemper. No, these are people that have been in the game. Coaches, executives. We're covering the waterfront Steve. You never know what I'm coming
so
up
you
with.
So you're going to go to MSNBC here and suggest that sports writers are going to start getting gunned down because of the Hall of Fame?
No. I always defend. Hey, look, I defend my guys in the Hall of Fame room.
Yeah, I did.
You
and Russo.
Mad Dog Russo.
But you heard what I can't remember her name, was White House correspondent, went on MSNBC and suggested reporters are going to start getting gunned down because of Trump.
But, Steve, I'm suggesting that there's a little bit of a consensus. And listen to this. I mean, there's a little consensus that McCoy is a flashy player who doesn't always show up throughout a game. And, you know, we're going to see going forward how true that is. But it's out there.
Is he 30 yet?
No, he's 29. And this season and next season, so he has two more seasons.
He stayed healthy.
He has two more seasons with guaranteed money. So he's here for 2 years. We're not trying to get rid of him on the podcast, but he's here for 2 years. After he turns 30 in that season, then the Bucks are free of him as far as obligations go.
And they don't have a replacement on the current roster.
No. But that's what I figured I'd ask you, is he Eric Berry-esque in the sense that he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's often thought of as such in some circles because he's had consistent success.
High quality player. Yeah.
All right, Ira. We're going to wrap up your podcast. We're back on Monday for the next.
That could be my cue for another donut, Steve.
You can feel free to stuff your face. Your next podcast, of course, fires on JoeBucksFan.com on Tuesday. But in the meantime, you can catch this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, listen to some past podcasts, and always just get you an alert for when it does post. So go to iTunes, search Bucks, search Ira Buccaneers. You'll find it. Also, Podbean, you can search. Very easy. And that's really just that
Steve,
simple.
One day you got the commish. The other day you got the custodian. You got the waterfront covered.
Well, you see, this isn't radio, Ira. You can listen whenever you want. So people just download the podcast, Bucks Uncensored, Ira Kaufman Podcast, Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast, which is going to be rolling through the off season, and just listen whenever you feel
One day there's going to be a summit meeting, Steve. Same podcast, me and the commish.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. Now we're going to do some other cool things with the podcast, but interesting stuff, Ira. All right, Ira, stuff your face. And,
you know, it won't be long before DeKemper's taking off for Indy, and he loves that trip.
It's a while. We got a lot of
couple
time.
Weeks, yeah.
A lot of time.
Yeah.
A lot of time.
He comes back with a full notebook.
So. Combine's a little bit later this year. A little bit later.
And so is the NFL owners' meetings. A little bit later in March.
Everything's later. All right, it's been fun, Ira. We'll see you next week.